The book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans 16. We're going to look at one verse as we give attention to the people of God that were a great help to the Apostle Paul. Tonight, we look in verse 6 and 7. We're going to spend most of our time talking about verse 7, but we're not going to skip verse 6. Let's begin reading. Romans chapter 16, verse 6. Paul says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for allowing us to open the Bible tonight and read the very words of God. I thank you, Lord, for the songs of truth we sing even tonight about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the prayer of calling out to you to give us a servant's heart. Lord, thank you for the story tonight of little Christian and the things he's learning along the journey. God, I pray even tonight that our hearts would be strengthened as we think upon those believers around the world. Many are in great trouble. Many are greatly distressed. And I pray that our hearts would be affected tonight. I pray they would be touched by this very truth. And may we pray and may we be reminded of our great responsibility in a country where we have great freedom. Oh, God, please help me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Tonight's title for this message is Helpers in and Out of Prison. Helpers in and out of prison. You know, Paul, it can be said dogmatically that Paul had a prison ministry. Now, it was not like we have today in prison ministries. Those that are ministering at a local church, as many of them have the liberty to go into prisons, which I'm thankful when prisons do open up, by the way, for the gospel to go forward and people to take the Bible. But no, Paul was giving the gospel as a prisoner. He was there because he had been placed in there because of persecution, and specifically because he was a gospel proclaimer. He was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed to be called a Christian. He was not ashamed to live his life out publicly before a lost and dying world. And I trust that God will help us to be the same way. But no, Paul is writing here, but he first gives a greeting here to Mary. Now, who was Mary? We don't know who this Mary was. It's a common name, just like John would be. Mary was a common name, but one thing he does bring light to her is that she was a great worker. And it says that who bestowed much labor upon us. In other words, on our behalf. He's speaking of perhaps the missionary teams that went about with Aquila and Priscilla, those that have been named, even Phoebe. But she obviously was someone there in Rome, and she was making an impact. She was encouraging. We don't know all that she was doing, but it's obvious, Paul put it in here, that she was working with a true servant's heart. May God help us all to labor in some way in the local church ministry. It's all going to look different for everybody. It's going to be because of different gifts and different seasons. But nevertheless, what a great testimony. And he moves on to verse 7. And that's where I want to draw our attention. It appears to be a married couple here. I know the word Junia can be masculine or feminine, but it gives the appearance here that Andronicus and Junia were married and were a couple that were serving the Lord. And Paul refers to them here as my kinsmen. Now, some believe that this could refer to the fact that he was actually blood related in the aspect of maybe a cousin or whatnot, a close kin. That's a possibility. We can't cancel that out. But the truth of the matter is, most likely he's talking about his Jewish brethren. Because if you'll notice back in Romans chapter 9, you can look at it, you can mark the reference. He says that when he was giving his burden about reaching the Jews, he says, even if I be cursed for my kinsmen, the Jewish people. That's how burdened he was for them. But he referred to the Jewish people as the kinsmen. So likely Jewish believers here. And he says here in this next phrase, and that's where I want to give some focus, is, and my fellow prisoners. Now, Paul, we don't know how many times Paul was locked up. We just don't know. It was a lot. Because he even says it, if you want to write this verse out to the side, you can just write the reference. But in 2 Corinthians 11:23, he said, and when he was defending his apostleship, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He says, I am more. In other words, I am serving God before you. You see it. And he said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, and notice this next phrase, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft, he said. Paul was frequenting the prisons. Basically, there were two places where you can always count on Paul visiting when he went to a town. It was the synagogue and it was the prison. That's just because he would go in there and proclaim the gospel boldly and they would lock him up. But one thing that we understand, that when Paul got locked up for his faith in Christ, he did not waste that time. In fact, you trace his steps according to this verse right here. He made some friends while he was in prison. He led people to Christ in prison. In fact, we know that for a fact that he led someone to Christ in prison. Remember the Philippian jailer? All hell the... Well, how's that going? All hell the... Yeah, all hail the power of Jesus' name. I don't know if he was singing that, but he was having a praise time in the jail, and the earthquake came. Praise God. The jail was shaking. The walls were shaking. All these prisoners' chains were coming off. And man, Paul is just praising God. And you know the story. He ran. The jailer was about to kill himself because he was so terrified on what was happening. He didn't know what to do, so he's going to take his own life. And Paul said, sir, don't do it. Don't do it. We are here. And you know the story. He says, what do I do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he got saved. Hey, I want to tell you, I hope that everybody in this church will strive every day to be someone that you can say, I am here to give the gospel. I am here to be a help in some way. People that are struggling, people that are down. Paul was that way. In prison, he let an example shine of even reaching in those situations. But not only that, you'll remember in Philemon, a book of the Bible that God chose to put there. You'll remember there, he says, he was basically writing this letter on the behalf of Onesimus. You remember Onesimus? He had evidently offended Philemon, done something against him, sinned against him, and couldn't be trusted. And Paul met Onesimus in prison and led him to the Lord. He got saved. And he's writing a letter back to Philemon saying, hey, this man's life has been changed. Aren't you thankful for a changed life? The gospel just does wonderful things to the human soul. It does wonderful things to the life. And he said, this man's life has changed. And he said, by the way, also, would you receive him on my behalf? Wow. Would you receive him back on my behalf? What a testimony. And that happened. That was a divine appointment in prison. You know, we have four books in the New Testament that would perhaps not have been written, or even with the same content and the same power and effectiveness, if it not had been Paul being in prison. We call them the prison epistles. Okay? It's Ephesians. It is Philippians. It is Colossians and Philemon. He likely wrote those from Rome while being imprisoned there. And God used those times in his life, but he met people there. And Andronicus and Junia, this is interesting because these people were saved before Paul. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "My fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles." Now, this statement and the next statement are important. Who also were in Christ before me. In other words, you know what he's saying? These people got saved before I did. And they had an impact on me. When I was in prison, these people loved on me. These people encouraged me. Fellow prisoners. That word carries a lot deeper than just the surface. Fellow means coming alongside and struggling together. They were in each other's encouragers, even in a time of persecution, even when a time the devil would have been whispering lies to them. "You're done. You idiot. Why are you out there living for God? Why are you out there making a big to-do about the gospel? Look at you. You're in prison." And the devil has a way of discouraging us, even as we live out the Christian life. But thank God there are people like Andronicus and Junia who come alongside and encourage fellow prisoners. But it says who are of note among the apostles. Now, some have interpreted this as them being apostles. I don't think that is accurate. It's a stretch if you do believe that. I believe it's talking about in the context. These people were likely in Jerusalem because they were saved before Paul was. And it also gives indication that these people were probably known by the apostles from the few that were still in Jerusalem. Because they couldn't have really been known by the apostles unless they were in Jerusalem and had a testimony there. And so whether that was Peter and others, James, even John, others that would have seen their testimony, but they had a testimony among the faithful. And I just want to tell you, church, I appreciate you. When I look upon this congregation, I see a people of God who are seeking to walk with the Lord. You're seeking to make a difference. You're going out and saying, "Lord, here am I." You come into a local church service like this and encourage the brethren, but then you go out into the world throughout the week, as I preached this morning, and you try to let that light shine. You try to make a difference and make an impact. Thank you for that. Thank you for coming alongside those that you know are hurting right now. Thank you for coming alongside people that are going through trials, even for their faith. It makes an impact. And we see that's what took place here. Let me read you a few verses. Before I do that, I can't, like I've mentioned this before, I'm a terrible planner, okay? Organizer. I try, you pray for me, I'm growing. But it's just amazing how God providentially organizes these things. I was on this verse today, and as I was reading over the verses and my notes, I came across this fact that today happens to be the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. I had to take a double look, and I went and looked at some other sites and reputable websites, evangelical websites. Yes, it's true. Voice of the Martyrs and Open Door Ministries and International Mission Mission Board. I thought, wow, God, you must be working in this way. And teaching your church something tonight. So let's realize this, that God is doing a work all over this world. And we recognize tonight that, yes, Paul was testifying of some people that blessed him during prison. And I can't help but think tonight that there are millions, literally, around the world who are suffering persecution. Even tonight. Let me think of Paul here just for a moment, even writing from Philippians, when he says, I have you in my heart, church, as much as both in my bonds. He was in prison. In verse 13 and 14, he says, don't worry about me so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. He even said, not only that, but there's people getting fired up for God because I'm in prison because of my faith. In Ephesians, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. In chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But I love his next phrase. But the word of God is not bound. Church, would you say that with me? But the word of God is not bound. You can lock up believers, but the word of God is going to go forth with power. Especially those believers that will stand upon it, that will live it. It will move on with great power. That's why he asked for prayer. Would you pray that the Word of God would have free course? As I mentioned in Philemon, in verse 9, he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, the aged. He said, I'm an old man. He says, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he says, I beg you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. You see, Paul was one that reminds us that there is persecution that comes upon believers. We must stay encouraged. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Do you get that? Remember them. You've got to write this down. Hebrews 13, 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, the body of Christ. When one suffers, we all suffer. Even as far as the bride of Christ, the believers that are scattered all around the world. God's people are living for Him, but some are suffering. This video is just, I think, just a few minutes long that I'd like to show. It just gives a little glimpse, 2024, of a reminder of even tonight. And before we close the service, I want us to have special prayer for the persecuted believers around the world. There's millions of them. And I think of us, and I'm so thankful. I'm not complaining. You know my heart. I am not complaining when I say this. I'm thankful for this comfortable room. I'm thankful for the fact that I'm in America, and we're not terrified about the police coming in here and busting down the door and arresting people for worshiping Jesus. I'm thankful for that. But I am also reminded that those of us that do have freedom, we got to remember those that do not. Let's show that video. Hope it'll play. If it doesn't, it's not a problem. You know technology, but we'll try it out. $300 million Christians living under persecution. Notice that one phrase that says, let's remember to pray for our brethren that share the same faith, but not the same freedom. And that's, it's factual. Over 300 million. There were nearly 5,000 Christians that were at least reported that were murdered for their faith just last year. And probably many more that we don't know of. Those are documented specifically for their faith. But many other thousands that are incarcerated and locked up because of sharing the gospel, trying to have church, whether that be in China, whether that be in Iran, whether that be in other places where the gospel is prohibited. People are being persecuted for their faith. Paul knew about this. He was one of them. And he told the young pastor Timothy about this. And I wondered why he told Timothy this. But I think I have an idea because I know my own heart. Paul wrote this to Timothy in his last letter to this young man, his son in the faith. He said, "Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, get this, nor of me, his prisoner." He says, "But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." He said, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, don't be scared, don't be fearful. You go out there and you live it out. You let God use you. He's writing from prison. He's probably just days from death, the Apostle Paul is. And what church historians say is that he was beheaded. But we do know that he was faithful to the very end, and he encouraged this young pastor, Timothy. You remember on his third missionary journey, remember when he met with the elders from Ephesus? You all remember that account in Acts chapter 20 when he was basically exhorting the pastors there? Listen to what he says. He says, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And this, listen to this. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." The Spirit of God had put it on his heart saying, "Paul, you're going to be locked up. You're going to suffer affliction." But what Paul say about that? And this is such a rebuke to my own heart. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know, as I think of Andronicus and I think of Junia, those are not names we often hear preached about. We don't hear them spoken of. But I think of these brethren in a jail cell, this Paul, Apostle Paul, just pouring into him, encouraging him. And I just think it would be so appropriate for us tonight. Though we don't know necessarily people that are in prison for their faith, I want to tell you, there are millions. We just don't realize it. And I want to say that it's hard for us to imagine, it's hard for us to feel it because we've never been locked up for that. But that doesn't mean we can't pray that God would help them even tonight. And so I want to do that. I want to take time. Can we get some of the microphones ready to go? How many do you think we would have ready to go, Brother Mike? Four? Okay. I'd like to get a few of you men that would volunteer to pray specifically for the persecuted church. And here are some ways that you can pray. I'm going to share this with you. So as was mentioned there, more than 365 million Christians worldwide suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. That's a staggering 1 in 7 believers. And so that takes form in all places, that type of persecution. But let's lift them up tonight that God would continue to revive them. Here are some ways that we can pray. Number one, could I have a man to volunteer to start us off praying for the persecuted church? I'm going to give you the request. Any brother here would we really? Okay, Jeff. Jeff, if you will use that mic there. And if you would, Jeff, ask God to comfort and strengthen these persecuted believers who are afflicted and who feel perhaps just crushed. We'll just pray that God would comfort and strengthen them even tonight all over the world. Would you do that, brother? Let's all pray with Brother Jeff for these persecuted believers.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in our country.
Amen.
We pray that you would make it real to our hearts that those freedoms are not the same across the world.
Mm.
And Lord, we realize that there are Christians who, in order to serve you, in order to stand for you, they put their lives and their families in jeopardy.
Mm.
And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage them, Lord, the way that you did Paul and Silas and the others.
Yes.
Lord, they can have your joy even in the hardest trials.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that you would give that to them, that you would encourage them, that you would uplift their spirits. Lord, may they, as so many in the past, even the martyrs of the faith, have gone to glory praising you. And Lord, we have a hard time fathoming.
Yes, that. Father.
But Lord, we live such a life of luxury and ease, and our faith is so easy in this country.
God.
Lord, we just ask that you would encourage those across the world who are in dire straits, who are suffering for their faith.
That
are loving you. Lord, we pray that you would lift them up, that you would help them not to be crushed by the weight of the oppression that they feel, but Lord, that they would be uplifted, and that they would be such a bright beacon of your love.
Yes.
We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Can I have another brother that would just pray for the persecuted church to be confident in Christ's ultimate victory of the cross, where Jesus says, Brother Steve, where the Lord says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Let's pray that they would see the victory in the cross, brother. Thank you, Steve.
Dear God, we're so thankful that your word has been able to spread throughout the world.
Amen.
We're thankful for the brother Christians that we have, Father, that are in such a very, very dangerous situation.
Yes.
Just because they believe in you.
Oh, God.
But I hope and pray that your word, as you have told us, it will not be hid.
Mm.
It will not be squelched. That you would give the brothers and sisters that are under affliction, you would give them the strength,
yes,
the courage, and the protection, Father, to step out and continue to take your word.
Amen.
And present it. And, Father, we all know that it's not up to them, it's not up to us to save an individual. It's us.
That's
right. To us to sow the seeds.
Mm.
To be the sower, Father, and give them the strength to get up every day, to lean on your word, to lean on your strong arm, and to go forward with your kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Father, be with those. Bless them. Protect them. And give them strength. And I'm going to pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Can I have someone else to pray that these believers would have such power from on high that they would count it all joy and to trust the Lord during these times of persecution, that they would just find joy by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I get someone that to pray very specifically that they would supernaturally find joy in this persecution? Any of you brothers can pray for me. Christian, if you would. Mike's going to get you the camera. Not the camera, but the microphone. Excuse me. Thank you, Christian.
Dear Father, we thank you for the joy that that you give in any circumstance, Father. And we do lift up the people, Christians, brothers and sisters, that are suffering persecution right now. Lord, that they would experienced that supernatural joy.
Yes, Lord.
In a very rich and real way because of your presence in their lives. I pray, Father, that you would just give them the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To be able to endure this pressure and suffering and hardship that they're undergoing. Lord, help them to love their persecutors in this. And Lord, let them look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And let them have that same,
yes, Lord,
that same spirit, that same mindset that Jesus had, who was willing to suffer for us. May their suffering be a pointer toward Jesus Christ himself. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray now, and we're going to pray that the Lord would give them boldness, not only a joy and not only a comfort, but let's pray that God would give them a holy boldness just to remain strong and not compromise their testimony. And I pray for you too. I know we don't experience it to what the brethren around the world in these closed countries do in the Middle East and Asia and even parts of Europe, even parts of even Colombia, South America. There are portions where believers are being highly persecuted in Africa, North Africa. It's astounding what they're going through. I could tell you stories about in Algeria and Libya when Gaddafi fell, ISIS was there. I mean, all over the world, let's pray that God will give them boldness. Would you join me? Father, we continue to pray for these believers, men and women, boys and girls, Christian families. Many of them are hiding and having their services, just praying that no one would bust through the doors and arrest them or even harm them. We pray that you'd give them a holy boldness tonight, scattered across these continents where Satan is trying to destroy your people. We pray tonight from our church here in Jackson County. We cry out to the Most High that you would anoint every persecuted believer, every believer that's in prison right now because of their faith. We cry out on their behalf, Lord, that you would fill their heart, oh God, their mind with a holy boldness to proclaim your word, even in the face of threatening, even in the face of slandering. And Almighty God, I pray that you would just overwhelm them with your sweet, loving presence, that they would know without a doubt you are there, just like you assured and encouraged the Apostle Paul, "Fear not, I am with thee." There are much people to be saved in this city. So, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church across the world. We pray that we, as your children here in America, that experience the freedoms that we do, God, we don't want to take that for granted. Lord, I pray tonight we would be inspired by these people that we know about and have heard of, these countries that are so antagonistic to the people of God. I pray that we would go out there to a nation that, Lord, we have complete and absolute freedom and authority to proclaim the gospel. I pray this week we would not be timid. I pray that we would grow in our boldness and our burden. I pray you'd help Crooked Creek Baptist Church, Lord, to go out and do our part and not be silent while thinking about our brethren that are suffering for their faith. Lord, I pray that if they're willing to suffer, I pray that we would at least be willing to do it with freedom. Oh, God, even if it means somebody might laugh at us, Lord, if it means somebody might reject us, help us, Lord, to be faithful. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for all that you do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, brethren, and I trust that we'll continue praying for the persecuted church. I trust the Holy Spirit will help us all to be more mindful of that, even in family devotions. I hope that we'll think upon people that are hurting tonight and possibly about to lose their life, and folks that do lose their lives. We were in Niger, but right south of us was Nigeria, and Boko Haram would come in and take whole villages captive. And they would kill a lot of the men, and they would take the ladies and the young ladies prisoners. And it's just an awful thing that's happening around. But I've seen, if you see a magazine called Voice of the Martyrs, they have these stories, these testimonies of God's power on these people in the face of all of those things. So I say this, as we think of Andronicus and Junia tonight, helping, encouraging Paul in prison, and just the testimony that had, let's be inspired tonight. Let's be inspired to go out this week and make an impact. Amen? God's going to use you. God's going to use me. And we're going to give Him the praise because He's worthy of it all.